It is such an honor to share the word this morning with you guys on Easter. I was trying to think yesterday, which celebration do I enjoy most, Christmas or Easter? And I thought the birth of Jesus or the resurrection, I don't know. It's just both such a highlight. And I realized that for us and for you and me as believers, life actually began on the Sunday morning. The day he got raised from the dead, that's when we got life. But if he wasn't born, we wouldn't have Sunday. So I'm still going to like Christmas as well. But I just realized everything changed for us on the Sunday morning. Everything. It changed. And you know what Hebrews 12 verse 2, you know that scripture, it says there, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So he went through Friday, all the suffering, all the heartache, for the joy set before him. I heard a guy said that once that he explained it to his kids, and it was some form of plate of food that the little boy had to eat, and he was struggling with his vegetables, and he tried to explain this Hebrews 12 verse 2 to him, and he put a donut on the other side of the plate, and he said, for the joy set before you, you will endure the vegetables. And it illustrated it so beautifully. And you know what? We are the donuts. We are the joy. Jolene is the joy that Jesus saw 2,000 years ago. You put in your name, Richard, Paul, and we are the joy that Jesus saw when he went through the suffering because he loves us. Isn't that wild? I think for eternity and eternity, I agree with Fenora, we're not going to get that. It's going to be our privilege to unwrap it and unwrap it, I think, until eternity is never over. But we will unwrap this gift called salvation and what Jesus came to do. So this morning, I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to start. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are the one that reveals Jesus, the Father, to us. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us. Jesus, we glorify you this morning. We say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you went through everything you did. Even before the foundation of the earth, you decided you would come because you love us. And I pray that this morning that we would see Jesus, who this Jesus is. Holy Spirit, come and just reveal a little bit more to us who this Jesus is that came and died and how he is just this amazing King of the universe today still. I pray, Holy Spirit, open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we start, while I was praying, I'm going to try not to get my notes confused here, but that's all right. I felt, just two words, I felt for the couple from Hilton. I think I remember your name, Wendy. Is it Wendy? Sorry, I don't know your husband's name, but I felt for you guys in worship. I felt God saying that you've got a gift of encouragement. And I felt him saying that he's going to use you to encourage other people, especially in your house. I have no clue. I could be completely wrong. So you pray about it and test it. It's just something I felt during worship. And I felt him saying your home is actually going to become your ministry field. And that he will send the people, especially younger people, that needs encouragement, needs wisdom, but you don't need to worry that the Holy Spirit is the one with the gift of encouragement and he's going to give it to you. So I bless you guys on that road. And then I think it was an older gentleman named Bob. Is that your name? Sorry, sitting next. You can't hear? Okay, I'll come afterwards. All right, so we are going to start with Revelation. I think I've got the scripture up there, Revelation 1. Now all my notes are confused, yeah? Excuse me. Okay, got it. All right, so we're going to go to Revelation 1. And like I prayed, we're going to look today at who this Jesus is. Who is this Jesus that died on the cross for you and me? And it's easy to maybe if you grew up like me in a more traditional church, we did We did the Jesus on the cross quite a lot. We did baby Jesus in the manger at Christmas quite a bit. But the resurrected King Jesus, the way he looks now, I somehow missed that. I didn't realize who this Jesus is that we're serving right now. The resurrected Jesus, the one that came up out of the grave on this Sunday morning. Who is this Jesus? And first, the first scripture we're going to look at in Revelation is, we're going to read it, and if you've been in our church, you'll know I have shared this scripture quite a bit. I love it. It's one of my favorites. But it's what he looks like now, physically. So let's have a look there. We're going to read from verse 12. I think I've got it up there. Yes, there we go. And then I, this is John. Now remember, I've said this before. This is John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. This is the one who at the Last Supper was leaning on Jesus' chest. It's very intimate, very close to Jesus. He said, Jesus loves me most. Okay, what a beautifully arrogant thing to say. I hope we can all say that, you know, I'm the witbroekie. So this is John, but see his reaction. Remember, he was close. He was so close, he would lean, he would literally lie on Jesus' chest at supper. That's how close they were, good friends. But this is his reaction to the resurrected Jesus, the King Jesus we serve now. Then I, John, turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. So this is Jesus that he's seeing, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His hand and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like that of the sun shining in its strength. And when I, John, saw him, this is John, the intimate one, I fell at his feet as dead. That's his reaction to seeing the resurrected Jesus. He just falls, hopefully backwards and not forwards. But in the Bible, they seem to fall forwards quite a bit. But he laid his right hand, Jesus laid his right hand on John, saying to John, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. This is the Jesus we serve. This is what he looks like right now. He's not a meek and mild baby Jesus anymore. He is a king with flames of fire in his eyes. And when John, who knew him intimately, saw him, he fell down. I don't think his body could help his body. Just standing in the glory of this king that we serve. But I want to, so that is, if you didn't know, that is what the Jesus that we serve look like today. But there's more to this Jesus. There's his nature. What is his nature? What is his character? What are the qualities of this Jesus? Because remember, he resurrected and he's in a glorified body and he is King Jesus, but his qualities and his nature is still the same. Does that make sense? He's still the Jesus that walked the earth in the sense that his nature and his qualities are the same. And I felt the Holy Spirit say as I was preparing, I felt him saying, ask the Holy Spirit to show you who this Jesus is. So we're going to look at one verse. I don't think I've ever done this, but we're going to do it today. One verse in Isaiah 9, verse 6. I wanted to do more, but I couldn't keep past the one verse. So we're just having one verse. And you all know this. This is Isaiah. I said it wrong. Isaiah. He taught me. He told me yesterday. He said, remember, I, Isaiah. En ek sê hom verkeerd. Sorry, my love. All your grammar lessons out the window. Oh, goodness. Isaiah. Isaiah 9 verse 6. If you have your Bibles, and I do want to encourage you to just go and read this verse when you're at home and just marvel at who this Jesus is. So this is the prophet speaking in the time of Hezekiah, the king in the Old Testament. Hezekiah was actually quite a good king for most of the time. But a lot of people say in the commentaries that this, a lot of people could say that this was actually a prophecy in the towards Hezekiah, but it wasn't. He wasn't a man of peace. After a whole lot of other commentaries, that they, it's pretty clear this prophecy was about Jesus. All right. Now, this is the prophecy we normally read on Christmas, isn't it? That's the one that comes up on Facebook and Instagram about 500 times. But this is the Jesus we serve. This is the Jesus we serve. We now looked in Revelation what he looks like bodily and the glory and the glory and the radiance that he's clothed in. But I felt God saying, read this and listen and get to know again the nature and the qualities of this King Jesus. So I'm going to read it for us and then we're going to unpack it a little bit. It says, therefore, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to break this one verse down. We've got a little bit of time, and we're going to go for it. Are you guys ready? Okay, just hang on to your seats. It's going to be more of a teaching, I suppose, than a preach, but here we go. So if we start on the very first two lines, we see, therefore, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us. God was so intentional. It wasn't by accident Jesus came. It was unto us because he loves us. Because what Venora said, he did it because for our benefit, because he loves us, for our good. It was never an accident that Jesus came. It wasn't a, gods, Adam and Eva made a big mistake, and now we have to go and sort out this problem. So this is plan B. No, this was always plan A. God was not surprised by what happened. So it was intentional. Jesus, I think, before they spoke the world into being, right in the beginning of time, they already knew, the Godhead, the Trinity, I believe, already knew Jesus was going to come. Because they don't know the beginning from the end. They know everything. God knows everything. So Jesus came. It was intentional for the Christ child to come eventually. That's how much he loves us. And then it says there, unto us a son is given. And I love it when the offering message and the sermon is so hand in hand. It was a free gift. When you are given something, you don't say, okay, thank you, but can I pay you back? That's insulting to the one giving the gift. It was a free gift. You know, for those visiting, we've got three kids. A boy, grade 6, so 12, a girl, 10, and another girl, 8. Ooh, turning 10. The other one turned 8 this week. So we're this year on 10, 12, 10, 8. And now we on school holidays, but they all brought a report card home, you know, the drill. And we got the report card of my son. I got it on the day the school finished, and he's a very bright boy, very bright. Not quite sure where he got, probably took all the little brains we had, but he got some brains somewhere. So normally his report card is outstanding. So he got the report card, and this time there was one mark that wasn't quite as good as the others. And I gave it to him. I had a look, and I said, I think it's a fantastic report card. Well done. You worked really hard. Congratulations. And this boy, he looked, and then I could see his face started falling. We were in the car still outside of school. And now I'm looking at him, and then I could see he got a little bit emotional. And then he looked at me, and then he said, But I feel like I disappointed you, Mom. And I said, why would you think that? And he said, no, but this one mark is not right. So I said, yes, but the others, 6 or however many, I don't even know how many there are, they're amazing. And this, I know this is not the normal mark you get, but so what? You did your best. I saw you studied hard. But in that moment, He was so emotional, and I said, are you disappointed? He said, yes, but he said, I don't want to ever disappoint you. And I went through the whole thing in the car that it's not possible to disappoint me through a mark. Okay? You're my son. I love you. And I was just reminded how often we come into the kingdom of God and we know it's by faith and through grace. We cannot earn it. We all know it. Martin Luther went through a whole war about to fight this battle that you cannot buy your salvation. Salvation is a gift through faith. Yet when we're inside the kingdom, we want to earn it. We want to start performing. We want to start telling Jesus, look at me, I'm doing all of this for you, and look at me, I'm good enough, and I'm trying. And God is saying, you don't get it. It's not just coming into the kingdom of God that's a free gift and by faith. Inside, you live as a son and a daughter. You cannot earn more of my love. So that is this, that it was, a son was given to us. And I feel that for some of us, we're going to pray for people at the end, but you might realize that, oh goodness, you've stepped back into performance. Maybe you grew up in a home where it was actually frowned upon when your report card wasn't good enough at the end of the year. And you felt that your worth, receiving love, acceptance was linked to a report card, some form of performance. But I've got good news for you. God is saying, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work like that. You come in, you're a son and a daughter, and he loves you, and he's proud of you, and you are worthy, not because of anything you've done, but because of everything Jesus did on the cross. All right, so that's the given. It's free. It's by faith. And then the next verse it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now this is a shoulder. You know how we say we bear our burdens on our shoulders. You get a lot of people that have got, I bear my tension when I stress, it's in my shoulders. I'm forever sitting in front of my husband saying, drukabiki, drukabiki. So it's a metaphor of God carrying everything. He's got the burdens on his shoulders. That's why Jesus could say, come, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Because it says here that the government will be upon Jesus' shoulder. The burden for the whole world, which you are trying to fix and you are worrying about, your whole family, Jesus has got it. He's got it. He's got your kids. For us as parents, that's a difficult one. That's a difficult one. Because you see, now you get the people that ask, but if the government and if God is in charge of the whole world, why are there so many wars and why are there so many things going wrong in our homes and in our families? And then I want to explain to you that yes, he's got the authority, but he doesn't necessarily have the control because he's given us free will. Okay, so I'm going to explain it this way. I think every parent will know what I'm talking about. Richard and I, we are the authority in our house. You get that? We are in charge. We are most definitely not in control of everything that happens in our house. Okay? We're three little kids. Okay? We are constantly saying, we don't do that as Wades. We don't fight. We don't do this. We don't eat ice cream for breakfast. We are not in control of everything that happens. Why? Because our kids have got free choices. They can make their own decisions. Even at times I want to take it back. It doesn't work that way. And in God's will, it's the same in the kingdom. It's the same in the world. God has got the authority, but he has given us free will. And that is why, but if we are in his kingdom, we fall in under his reign. He's the one that protects. He's the one that carries the burdens. He's the one that provides. But very often, we want to try and take those burdens. But Jesus is the one that is called to have the government upon his shoulder. So for some of us, you are feeling stressed. You have got anxiety, and we are going to pray for you. And I felt God saying, for some of you, there's been burdens that you've carried And he's actually called you to carry it for a while, but he's saying it's done now. You can let it go. I especially felt for some people grieving. I don't know if it's the loss of somebody who died or maybe a business, or it can even be a relationship. And I felt God saying, it's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. I've got this. You can trust Jesus. He's got it. He's got broad shoulders. He's got it. And then we're going to carry on, and now we're going to get to his name. Jesus' name will be called, and we're going to just quickly look at each of these names of Jesus. You know, it's more than a name. It's who he is. You know, it's Jesus isn't somebody who healed. He is healing. He is health. He is goodness. He is love. He doesn't just love. He is love. That's his nature. So when we look at the first one, it says here, and his name will be called Wonderful. Now you can preach a whole series on all of these names, just studying who this Jesus is that we serve. And in the beginning of the year, I shared with you guys that I felt a prophetic word for the year 2023. Can you guys remember? Year of wonder. That is this Jesus. He is the one we go. I think that's what happened to John in Revelation when he saw him. It was just, wow, that is Jesus. You go and read the Gospels, and it's just awe-inspiring. We've gotten used to the Bible stories, but you know what? They're all true. He was born of a virgin. Wow, how does that even happen? You know, how he then walked the earth. And at 12, I've got a 12-year-old son, let me tell you, as amazing and as strong academically as he is, he cannot go and argue in no church or synagogue. I cannot let him loose, you know. He knows the Bible. But I don't think he will be able to hold his own. Yet that is what Jesus did as a 12-year-old boy. I know we say it's a different time. Yes, but it's still wonderful. It's not every 12-year-old boy in that time that could do that. That's the Jesus we serve. He then goes on, and I mean, he goes, you read through the Gospels, and just how he walked with his disciples, how he taught. It says there the crowd would be silent. They would be like, where did you get that? You know, how do you know this? How do you speak with one as somebody who's got authority? That's the Jesus we serve. And you know, we read the Bible and we think it's just then. We think it's just then that he was so wonderful. And when I read it, I do, because this Bible is a love letter from God. But you know what God wants to, Jesus wants to show up in your, my life as the God of wonder. He wants you to stand from time to time and go, what just happened? That must be God. That must be Jesus. That is the name Wonderful. Then the second one is Counselor. Now, Counselor is actually an amazing thing. In some of the translations, it says Wonderful Counselor. So they kind of couple the words together saying, but the other three or four, three names are kind of dual names. But this one, some translations, I read the New King James, and they had it separate. And to me, it just felt like Wonderful and Counselor. Actually, all of this, it's just so rich in describing this Jesus. But if you go on to Counselor, it says there that Jesus has got all the wisdom. He knows the whole counsel of God. He knew it from the beginning. We spoke about it just now. From the foundation of the earth, he knew everything that was going to happen, that will happen, that has happened, how it fits together. He didn't make a mistake with you. He didn't place you in the wrong era. He didn't place you in the wrong family. He didn't place you in the wrong nation. We are in South Africa for a reason and for a time such as this. He knows. There's no challenge in your life that Jesus is not the answer or hasn't got the answer for. There is nothing. You know, we often think that it's all good and fine. I mean, the pastor, and when it comes to marriage, maybe, parenting, maybe, But the pastor can read the Bible. But Monday morning, I step into my business. And, you know, God maybe doesn't really know about business. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is, Jesus is the great counselor. He's got the answer. And I felt that there's some of you, I felt especially around business and money things, and you've been trying to figure it out. And I felt especially going to, you've been trying to speak to wise people around you. And that is a godly principle. Proverbs says, in the counsel of many, there's wisdom. But the difference is you've been going first to the counsel of many and not first to God. And I also feel that you've actually been going to the internet a lot, reading up, and you're trying to find the answer for whatever your problem is. And God is saying, come to me first. I am the great counselor. I know everything. And I feel God is saying this morning, he's just going to drop the answer in your spirit. He's going to drop. And you're going to think it's too simple. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Sometimes it's simple. It's childlike. But I want to tell you a story. Like I said, we've got three kids. And over December last year, for those who don't know, our middle one, Margaret, is a petite little thing. She's a tiny little body, but she's grade four now. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, definitely the Holy Spirit, while we're on holiday, I told Richard, we haven't spoken to her really about puberty. Now, her little body is, let me tell you, not close to puberty. It is a small little body. But I didn't even think about it. You know when those thoughts come just out of nowhere, and then I knew it was the Holy Spirit. So I told Richard, maybe, you know, what if some of her friends at school, you know, their bodies are a little bit more advanced, and I don't want her to get a fright if something, which I'm not going to share from the pulpit, but you all know. I don't want her to get a fright or be in a situation at school that, you know, they're talking the girls and she doesn't know. So it was literally within a week or two, I got a book. I ordered a book online. The book comes. We work through the book, me and her. I talk her through it. For those who've got kids, it takes a little bit of time for new information. They kind of listen, and then they go, and then the next day it's a couple of more questions, and then that's how we go through it in our house at least. So we talked through the whole book and everything that your body, that happens, and all of that, and that was the end of it. Off to school she goes. And it wasn't even a month. She comes home the one day. She actually just got in the car, and she looked at me and she said, we have to talk, Mom. And I thought, work in order. So she said, remember the talk. So I'm like, ooh, yere, help ons. So I'm thinking, which talk, what happened? But I said, do you need to talk now? No, not in front of her siblings. We'll talk at home. So I said, okay, no problem. So we get here at home, and she says, we have to talk. We have to go to the room. So I said, okay, we go. Get to the bedroom. She closes the door, and she says, thank you for telling me. You won't believe what happened at school. So I said, what happened? She said, no, but they split the boys and the girls, and there was a female doctor that came and explained the whole puberty thing to them. And I'm going inside, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thinking, and I said, was there anything you didn't know? And there was one or two little things she asked clarification about. But she said she could tell the others, it's okay, because some of her friends didn't know. And she said, no, it's actually a good thing. It means you're going to have a baby and all of that. So she was trying to help them, you know. And I promise you, I look back at it and I'm like, Jesus is the great counselor. Jesus knew exactly I needed to speak to her when we did. Jesus knows. It doesn't matter what your challenge is. Even if, like me, I didn't even think about it. But that is how good he is. And that is how interested and how intricately he wants to be involved in our lives. So that is the great counselor. I don't know what your challenge is, but I know Jesus has got the answer. The next one, mighty God. Mighty God. He is a God of power. He is a God of power. I never knew that. I read the miracles and the walking on water and the commanding of the storms and the weather patterns. I read it in the Bible, but somehow I didn't know that it was still for today. I somehow missed it. And then I realized Jesus lives inside of me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit and Jesus is one. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gave Jesus power, and he's inside of me. So there is power, not because of anything we do, but because God lives in us. That's Galatians that Venora read. He lives in us. He lives in you if you are a believer. And that means that anything is possible. That means sick people, dead people should be raised. Sick people should be healed. If we need to walk on water, we will walk on water. If we need to command the weather patterns, why? Because we're special? No, we're not. We are not. If you don't believe me, come and hang around the Ways household for a little bit. Pretty normal people with a lot of sin and stuff that's not always very good. But we go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please, I don't ever want to grieve your Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the one that does the miracles. He's the one with the power. And if we look at Jesus, isn't it amazing that Isaiah prophesied this, that this baby, Jesus, would be a mighty God. He would cast out demons. It's amazing. You go and read the Acts. And now Jesus has gone to heaven and the Holy Spirit has come upon normal people, fishermen. They're pretty normal. They like us. Okay? Yet, with Peter and Paul and Simon and John, they did amazing miracles. Because that is the Jesus we serve. And that should be normal. It should be normal for every believer. You should be told when you get saved, right, now the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You can do anything that God asks you to do. Anything. You should pray for the people and they should get healed. Why? That's what Jesus says. That's the great commandment. These signs will follow those who believe. They should cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick, make disciples, cleanse the lepers. That's the great commandment. It's nothing we can do, but that is the Jesus we serve. That's the Holy Spirit inside of us. And then the next one, a beautiful one. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Now, there are some commentaries that saying, but this prophecy is about Jesus, and he is not the Father. There's a distinction between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that is true. This is not the Father, but Jesus became a Father to all of us as we got adopted into the family of God. So he is also a Father to us. I know it's confusing. I don't get it. The Trinity thing just breaks my brain. And rightly so. We shouldn't be able to understand everything. Why? Because then we brought God down to a human level. Okay? So I'm sorry if that offends you, but there will always be things we don't quite understand with our heads. And that's why Paul says we look into a vase. This thing died looking. But one day we will see fully and clearly. But the everlasting Father, it says that you and me, once we say, Jesus, please come and be King and Lord of my life. I'm done doing it my way. I wanna come into your kingdom. Then you become a son and a daughter through adoption into the family of God. And he becomes our Father. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's so beautiful to me. It's an everlasting Father. It's not a Father that will abandon you. I don't know what your earthly father did or didn't do. I still grew up in the times of Sub A and Sub B. For those who are not from South Africa, that's grade one, I suppose. And my parents are farmers. So the closest school was about an hour and 20 minutes away, or decent school. So they sent me and my siblings, we went to boarding school from the age of 7. And I have an amazing mom and dad. You will not get a better, especially father, mom also amazing, but we're talking about fathers now. My dad is amazing. I always knew I was loved. Never struggled with understanding and knowing that I was loved, that I was accepted, I was good enough, nothing of that. But the enemy came in with a lie that you are alone, that you have been abandoned. Because I went to boarding school on a Monday morning, and you do everything on your own. I tell my kids often, surprise, I had to do it on my own. You eat whatever you got. You didn't get akonefandini, and I don't like this food and that food. You ate whatever you had. 7 years old, you need to remember what sporting equipment you need to take to school for whatever you have after school. I remember my mom used to put my little roster. She pasted it on my cupboard. So in the mornings, you pack your little things in your bag. But if you forgot your hockey stick, you forgot your hockey stick. It's your own problem. You must make a plan. Good for learning selfstandigheid. What's that in English? Independence, taking responsibility. Not many problems that really overwhelms me because I'm like, we're a survivor. You sort it out. There's an answer to pretty much every problem, and mostly it's in your friends. Just find a friend with a hockey stick or something. We'll make it work. Stick together. But what the enemy did come in and lied about was that I was abandoned. My father wasn't there. When I needed him, when I needed a hug, they weren't necessarily there. They were there on the weekends, but they weren't there in the week. And I feel for many of us, I felt the Holy Spirit say that this lie has come in for some of you as well. Maybe your story is not like mine. Maybe your earthly father did abandon your house or did abuse. I don't know what your story is. But the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? Jesus is an everlasting father. He won't ever abandon you. He hasn't left. He sent his Holy Spirit for the very reason to tell you that I am with you always, Emmanuel, God with us. He won't abandon us. He won't hurt us. He won't reject us. That is the God we serve. That is Jesus, our everlasting Father. And then we're going to end with the beautiful one. It says there, Prince of Peace. Wow. I think that's one of the most desired things, feels like in this day and age, is peace. You hear people saying all the time, I just want peace. Whether it's at home and there's rivalry or a little bit of krapperigheid between kids or between mom and dad, peace. For every parent, you're like, just please don't fight. Whatever you do, just stop fighting. I don't know if there's any other parent that can relate. So, David's hand is like, yes. Oh, there are many things I can deal with, but the constant fighting of siblings, it drives me mad. You're like, please, Lord, just bring peace in this house. There's so many people struggling with mental just challenges, anxiety, depression, sleepless nights. And it affects our bodies. Because you think, no, I'm just worried because I'm concerned with this or that. But that's directly got an impact on your bodies. There's so many bodies that need peace. And I felt quite clearly the Holy Spirit say, remind them that peace is a person. Peace is a person. We don't get peace when we come to a healing center or to a beautiful nature. And you do for a little bit. But let me tell you, peace is a person. Real peace only comes from the Prince of Peace. Once he comes in, once he becomes king of my heart and your heart, when he becomes king of my body, soul, and spirit, that is when peace comes. That's when the peace of God fills and floods. What is that scripture that says the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit? Peace is a third of the kingdom, according to that scripture. How amazing. So God knew this generation, we're going to need peace. So that is the Jesus we serve. That is the Jesus that died and rose again on the Sunday morning. That's the one. His name, it says, he was born intentionally. Unto us a child is born. unto us a son is given, free gift, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He's got it. He's got us. He's got this world. And his name will be called, just listen to this, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm gonna pray for us, so you can maybe close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And you know, we spoke about Jesus being King. He's King Jesus. He's not a baby, and he's not on the cross anymore. He's King Jesus. And for some of us, we've kind of tried to step with one foot into the kingdom, but we're not fully there. We're trying to do both. And I feel God is saying that if Jesus is not King of all, he is not King at all. When King Charles of England becomes King now in May somewhere, the coronation comes, he doesn't just become King of a part of England. Whether he's been to the whole of England or not, when he's crowned king in that nation, he's king of all. Whether you want him as king or not, whether you like him and you think he's as cool as Queen Elizabeth or not, it doesn't matter. He's king. When you're in that country, he is your king. And in the same way with Jesus, when we are in the kingdom, if he is not king of all, he is not king at all. And I feel that there's some of us here that there's an invitation this morning to meet with this King Jesus. There's an invitation to meet with the Prince of Peace. I feel God is saying that there's some of us, you've been running around looking for peace and you're like, God, I just want peace. Some of you are even struggling with thoughts, tormenting thoughts that's just ripping you actually to shreds on the inside, just thoughts that are telling you that you're not good enough, that you're never going to make it, you're just going to be like your mom and dad, you're never going to be successful at anything. I feel God is saying the invitation is here this morning to meet with the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can bring you the peace. So I don't know where you are at, and we can say it's a very private thing, and I'm going to pray at home, and I'm going to speak to Jesus at home. Do you know what? 2,000 years ago, it wasn't a private thing for Jesus. He hung on the cross. All the pictures have got him with a little cross over his private parts. He hung naked. He took all the shame upon himself. There was no privacy 2,000 years ago. So I want to ask you, if that is you and you realize either you have made Jesus King of your life, but you've stepped away, or it has been just partially, and you realize, shucks, I didn't really give him everything. I didn't surrender fully. Or maybe you are here and you're saying, nobody has actually ever asked me if I've given my life to Jesus, because the Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, then you will be saved. So there needs to be a confession with the mouth and a believing in the heart. So if that is you, won't you just slip up your hand right where you are? All the eyes are closed. If that is you and you're saying, I need to thank you for that hand. If there's anybody else that needs to say thank you. Is there anybody else that's saying, I need to thank you. I need to come back to Jesus. I need to make right with him. I want to give him. I want to say, Jesus, come and be Lord of everything, of my whole life. I give it all to you. There's more hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many hands. And then there are people that I felt while we were talking, I felt that there's some of us that have slipped back into performance. You know, you entered the kingdom through faith, and you know it was a gift, but somehow you've slipped back into performance, thinking that you need to perform and you need to do the right thing, and you're trying so very hard. And I see some of you have actually got your hands, you're holding on for dear life, and your knuckles are actually going white, but you're still holding on. And I feel God is saying, you can let go. You can let go this morning. If that is you, and you know you're struggling with performance, and you've slipped back into just forgetting that there's nothing you can do to earn His love. Is there anybody like that? You stick up your hand. And then I felt that there's some of us that have gotten really hurt by our earthly father. Maybe you're like me, and somewhere the enemy came in with a lie that God is just like your earthly father. And you got hurt with the way He handled you or didn't handle you or wasn't there or was there. You fill in the blanks. And I feel God is saying this morning there's an invitation to come and meet your heavenly Father, because that hole, that void will always be there in your heart. And I feel for some of you, you've actually gone to other substances, other people, and you're trying to fill this void that only your Father could fill. And God is saying, no, no, only the everlasting Father can fill that void. If that is you, won't you stick up your hand? If you know that you need to come to Jesus and come to speak to Him about that void. Thank you. Thanks for those hands. I've got one or two more, and then we're going to pray for people. And then I feel that there's people that the Prince of Peace, you need peace. You're like, I'm done. I cannot do this. I've got so much anxiety, depression. I feel especially people struggling with sleep. Is there anybody that's struggling with sleep? Oh, hands going up everywhere. Nightmares. You either can't fall asleep or you wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock and you're just struggling. You don't have peace. And I feel God is saying today it ends. It ends in Jesus' name. The cycle is breaking today in Jesus' name. And then the last one is I feel that there's some people actually that needs peace in their bodies. I felt the word a rewiring of just neuro pathways in the brain, that you actually need physical healing of pathways that have been formed by the way you've been thinking. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody. And God is saying this morning the Prince of Peace wants to rewire the way you think, so that you've got the mind of Christ. And for some of you, that anxiety and depression has actually impacted on your digestive systems. Don't know if is there anybody that's struggling digestive system wise? Thank you. Thanks for those hands. I feel God is saying this morning, I'm healing bodies. Because the Prince of Peace is not just interested in your spirit. He doesn't just want to get you to heaven. Yes, Jesus came so that we can get to heaven. But He's come to give you life and life in abundance now. So if you need actually any form of physical healing, won't you also come to the front? So those who stuck up their hand, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, digestive systems, anything like that, now is your chance. If you didn't stick up your hand and you're saying, I want somebody to pray for me, won't you come to the front as well? There's no better day to meet with Jesus than today. And that is why we came, is to meet with Him. What I'm going to ask now, we're going to do things slightly different. We're going to end with one final song while the ushers hand out communion. And at the end of the song, so ushers, you can hand out the communion while we're worshiping. It's going to be Lakadia Makor. At the end of the song, we're going to take communion together, and then we're going to pray for the people in front. Is that all right? So you guys can all stand with us. You here in front, you just look to Jesus. We're going to pray with you, but ultimately, you don't need our prayers. You need Jesus.